Good afternoon, everybody. It's Dora Seiler with Prestige Property Shop coming to you from Central Florida, also known as Dora the Real Estate Explorer. Talking all things real estate. And today I wanted to I had a question from a listener, and I'm going to call it the question of the day. And it was a terrific question. It was, who pays for what? And he wanted to know, this is Ben. And
like what, for dinners, for hotel rooms, who pays for what?
No,
what?
He regarding closing costs. So his question was, as a buyer, what are my closing costs? And as a seller, what are my closing costs? And that's a terrific question. So I wanted to go over that first before we get into our other topic. So as a buyer, typically your closing costs, which are separate, completely separate from your down payment. Your down payment could be anywhere from 3% to 20% down, let's just say on average. That's your down payment. Your closing costs are completely separate. So as a buyer, that typically ranges between 3 and 5%. And what that includes as a buyer, anything to do with getting your loan. So the lender's going to have their cost. You're going to pay for your appraisal. You're going to pay for your inspections. You're going to pay for your insurance on your loan, stamps on your mortgage note, that type of thing. So anything to do with getting your loan. Now, if you're a cash buyer, that number is going to be dramatically reduced. As a cash buyer, typically, your closing costs are less than $1,000. Doesn't matter, because all you have is your inspections. You have your closing fee. As a buyer, you do not pay real estate commission. The seller pays us. So that is a terrific incentive to use a buyer's agent, because you get all the representation without paying $1. And
it could eliminate a lot of big mistakes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that extra support and just navigating the contract is very difficult. And we want the process to be as simple as possible and as seamless as possible. So that's a realtor's job to, you know, put out those fires so that the buyer doesn't have to. So then let's switch. If you're selling your home, what are the typical closing costs? The seller pays not only the real estate commission, which typically on average is between 5 and 6%, and then that gets split between the seller's agent and the buyer's agent.
Not necessarily evenly. It's all negotiable.
No, but everything to do with giving clear title. So that's going to be the title insurance, the lien search, doc stamps on the deed. And again, that's a range. It's going to depend on the price of the house. If you are selling your house within the last 3 years of purchasing it, you get a discount on your title insurance. So save those title and policies in a safe place. But anyway, so that, again, that's what a typical buyer pays, and that's what a typical seller pays. So thank you, Ben, for that question. I hope that makes it a little bit easier. That was the question of the day. So what I want to talk about today is when I get a phone call from someone who says, Dora, you know, we're thinking about moving. There's usually only two reasons that they want to move. If it's not location, if it's not job transfer, it's we want a bigger house, we need more space, or the kids have left and we want a smaller space. And a lot of times they want to talk about the cost of a renovation, if they wanted to add a wing, add more space, add an extra garage versus just moving. And so,
or you could delete family.
Well, so many families actually are living together longer, whether that's the kids are staying at home while they go to college, or they go to college and then they come back home, or the costly of putting our parents into an assisted living has become so expensive, and a lot of them did not plan for that.
It could be $100,000 a year, depending on what kind of place
it is.
It's
crazy.
Sure.
And so as a result, a lot of the elderly parents are now living with with their families. And I experienced that personally. My dad actually lived with us for over a year. And we were able to, you know, put him in his own room with his own bathroom. But it can be stressful. And they're on a different schedule. And, you know, so interestingly enough, something called tiny homes has actually popped up as becoming very popular for a couple different reasons. I think, you know, in lieu of renovating and you know, building an in-law suite, there's now companies that are able to construct a small single family home and place it on someone's yard so that someone has that independent living, but they're near their family. And so anyway, that's my topic today. And actually, I have a guest, and believe it or not, there is actually a company right here in Longwood called Cornerstone Tiny Homes, and they build just this, tiny homes. And so I want to introduce Jerry from Cornerstone Tiny Homes to the show.
Hi, Dora.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for being on the show today. So full disclosure, I actually ran by your facility yesterday. I want to tell everybody because I had to see it for myself. It's so fascinating. I have never sold a tiny home, but I have seen the stories. And so
well, because
I had
you could probably fit 10 of them in your house.
No, and I actually, we discussed it when my dad was living with us, and we had actually kind of started discussing, you know, what if we built a separate structure on the house and what would that cost? And so anyway, just kind of talk to me about what the buzz is about these tiny homes.
Well, sure. And thanks for having me on. You know, there's been, I think, a heightened conversation most recently with the exact scenario you just painted, with a lot of parents who maybe are a little elderly and they don't need to be in a home, but they shouldn't be on their own either. So providing an independent way to live in the backyards, you know, so they're just a few yards away, they're close enough, but they still have their own life. That is probably the most recent conversation that has become a popular topic of conversation. But the homes can be used in a number of ways. We're working with developers to put these small homes in a full neighborhood of nothing but small homes. They can be on a vacant piece of land if the area will allow it, the city or the county, and in backyards. So there's a few ways to go. Now, we build two types of homes, one's on wheels and one's on foundations. But strictly speaking, there are three options for homes on foundations with us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So who's the buyer of a tiny home? I mean, I know you said there's different situation, but if you had to say who is your number one buyer, who is that?
Well, we do have recent laws that changed in Central Florida, most specifically in Orange County and the city of Orlando, where homeowners are coming to us now for backyard villas, which is the name we gave that.
I love
that
it.
ADU.
Beautiful.
Thank you. That can be used as a rental now. They, you know, homeowners
really?
Can actually turn their backyard into some sort of income generating property. And I know that in areas like in UCF, all that student housing is an issue. So we're hoping to make a little more room, but that's exactly why Orlando had to change some laws and ordinances. We're just running out of homes.
Yes. Welcome to our backyard villa. Yes.
Yes. You must have an
smashing.
It's not a redneck. Yeah.
The redneck Riviera to the smash backyard villa.
So yesterday, Jerry, you had told me that investors investors who would want to purchase a tiny home and Airbnb it, as long as the community, you know, would allow it. You also mentioned females 55 and up seem to be an increasing demographic.
Well, you know, that's more specifically to the ones on wheels. We are finding that grandma has children in two different states, and many times they like to follow the weather, but they don't want to live in their children's home to see their grandchildren.
I totally understand that.
So they'll set up shop like in a RV park nearby.
Okay.
And spend, you know, 5-6 months at a time, and then they'll call one of our drivers to say, hey, come pick me up. I want to go back to Colorado. And we'll send somebody there and pick up the house, and they'll meet them out in Colorado.
And what's the cost of transporting, let's say, from Florida to Colorado? Like, what would that cost me if I wanted to move it?
It's over $1 a mile. It can add up.
Okay.
You know, but the homes themselves are pretty heavy. They're made like any other traditional home, just on a trailer chassis. So it's still 2x4 wood construction and spray foam insulation, which is great when you're inside, but it does make for a little bit more of a daunting time on the road, especially if you're in the mountains.
I was totally impressed with the construction yesterday when I saw it. The tin roof, the updated, I mean, it was very contemporary looking. Mm-hmm. The barn doors, the use of the space, it was very contemporary, more contemporary than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to look more like an RV. So I was totally impressed with that. What's the typical cost of a tiny home? I mean, where do they start?
Well, it can really range. We give these broad stroke prices when we talk to clients. The thing that's interesting and unique is that we start from scratch every single home we build if it's on wheels. Now, we have other laws to abide if it's on a foundation, but if it's on wheels, people come in with a blank slate. They can do the layout however they want and choose all the colors and fixtures and everything. So those prices can really vary. Somebody can come in and be ambitious, get a 32 footer, which is the longest we build. And like, they could almost hit six digits if they were ambitious. But a lot of our people could start, you know, around 50. And I would say an average is below 70,000.
Okay. So 50 to 70.
What's the average square footage of these?
Well, I just always times it by eight. So our smallest unit is 20 feet in length. So that's just 160 square feet, but that's not including loft space. And that's customized as well. So that could be an 8x8 or an 8x10.
So instead of a theater room, you have a theater corner?
Yes, exactly. Yes. Now, we had one living room that was so enormous, she put in the projector screen and gave herself the IMAX experience. So you'd be surprised.
I have seen the show on TV where the TV comes, you know, it comes down from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. I've seen where the bed can go up and down. It's crazy. The windows come up and down to all of a sudden you open up your space to, you know, your surroundings, and then everything is like remote controlled, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Yes. So it's very
I haven't had the pleasure of seeing it, but can a couple live comfortably in one of these homes?
Well, do they like each other?
If you've been married a long time, the chances are not.
So in that case, we're actually building a divider right in the
Perfect.
Center. This is your side. This is yours. Yeah. Couples can live pretty comfortably. A lot of our people will actually stay put for long periods of time. So outside the home, many times they have the deck built, you know, they have the little bit of the lifestyle that accommodates just the home. And many of our folks are truly outdoor people regardless. So they'll have a comfy little living room, but many times they'll be out and about as well.
So Jerry, if somebody were to come and meet with you and your design team from start to finish, how long is it going to take me?
It would take, if you wanted a foundation home, that would take us 2 to 3 months from the day of your design meeting. Now we build the home in the shop, so it's kind of a modular home process.
Okay.
But once we bring it to your property and set it on that foundation, it is like any other single family residence.
And all I'd need to do is hook up sewer or septic and water, electricity. That's all separate, correct?
And the foundation. Yeah, we have general contractors that we refer to people if they don't know one themselves. But sometimes they'll have a cousin or someone in the family who wants to do it. And we're fine with that. But we have people to refer I just don't want people to feel that it's a daunting task to try to figure out building permits and zoning laws. It's like, just give us a call, give us the address, and we'll navigate with you to make sure you can do this.
And I'm assuming you have specific lenders, so this can be financed?
Yes, if it's on wheels, it is an RV loan. We do work with banks. Now, we're an RVIA certified builder. That really helps us a lot, get financing, to get insurance, and probably most importantly, to get people into RV parks.
Okay.
Because there is resistance to the idea of just a tiny home. If that RV park owner assumes that you built it yourself, you're probably not insured, you could be a liability.
Okay.
So we get everything certified to make sure that everyone's comfortable how safe they are.
Okay. And if it's a permanent, then it can go single family financing?
Yes, that can be. Right now it's categorized as sort of a construction loan.
Okay.
But pretty much all the terms are the same. It's just they dole the money out in different stages.
Like a construction perm. Yeah.
Almost like, yeah, like you purchased a lot in a neighborhood and your home doesn't exist yet. That sort of financing.
Jerry, how long have you guys been around?
For close to 6 years now. It started all very organically. The couple who owns the company, it's Brett and Kim Hiltbrand. They had just come back from the Bahamas. They were down there building like these 5,000 and 6,000 square feet homes, and it was crazy. All these subcontractors, and Brett came back and he saw his first tiny home and he built it in his driveway, and somebody drove by and purchased it before he was done building. Wow. And he said, maybe there is actually something here. And of course, and the TV shows were happening right at the same time. So there was this raised awareness. You know, we were on Tiny House Nation last season.
Oh, yeah. I DVR that.
Oh, nice.
No, I'm kidding. I don't. I don't DVR that. But I just. But let me ask this question. So you've been around 6 years. Are you seeing, can you give me an idea of your growth in revenue or sales? I mean, is it exponential, or is it basically like the regular real estate market?
Well, we have steadily grown every single year. The real change that is about to happen is because of the recent laws that were changed for developers to do foundation neighborhoods will be our starting point for volume purchases. They'll want to fill. We can do like 8 to 10 homes comfortably per acre. So when they come in, I mean, we will probably have the larger, and they're going through all that process now of parceling out the land and stuff. So it's a slow process, but anytime now we're expecting the larger volume orders that'll really change our trajectory. We'll have to move to a new shop and everything.
Okay. Well, this is, I find it fascinating and I was thoroughly impressed. We're talking to Jerry with Cornerstone Tiny Homes. And Jerry, if somebody wanted to reach out and contact you, what number should they call?
Yep. They can always call our office line Monday through Friday. It's 407-413-9660.
And you're located right in, Longwood off of General Hutchinson and was it Timaquan?
Yeah, Timaquan is our road. It's close to the intersection of Ronald Reagan and General Hutchinson.
Perfect.
Is the closest intersection.
You know, people are probably thinking, Jerry, what is it seriously, an electricity bill on a tiny home?
Roughly $25 a month.
Oh,
I had one late. Well, it's all spray foam insulation. I mean, they're basically Yeti coolers. I mean, it's really energy efficient. But I had one lady in Mount Dora. She had a medical condition, and her home stayed 61 degrees around the clock. And her energy bills were $28 a month.
I think it's just fascinating for the minimalist who wants to live as debt-free as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I sell bungalow homes in College Park, and I get the buyers, the millennial buyers, especially, who are okay with the smaller space. They want the location. This is just another, you know, facet of living in a smaller space, but being where you want to be. Location, location, location. So anyway, thanks, Jerry. I really appreciate you being my guest today. And I think, you know, everybody should, consider a tiny home versus a renovation if you're thinking about building an in-law suite, and you can actually put that on your property. So thanks, Jerry. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me. And if I'll say very quickly, if someone wants to send a message, you can always do that through the website. It's just cornerstonetinyhomes.com. I'd
Perfect.
Love to speak with anyone with questions.
Perfect. Thanks, Jerry. Have a great
Thanks
day.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Talk soon.
All right. Bye.
I think it is fascinating because, you know, people that are okay with small space and just need a place to live. And like you said, you can do, you know, a lot of these RVs, you have, you could put a deck out there, canopy, and sit outside,
watch TV.
This
way. Think about if you're thinking, hey, listen, I need this additional in-law suite for my dad, let's just say, for 3 to 5 years. But after that, I don't need it. then you could relocate it. You mm-hmm. could resale it, and it wouldn't be a permanent structure on your property. I just think it's fascinating. So I enjoyed talking to him, and I actually really enjoyed seeing the facility. I was shocked at the quality and how innovative and creative they were with storage space. So anyway, I want to talk about my new listings, this week. I've got, a townhome. No, it's a condo. Actually, it's a two-story condo, in Key West. Not the Key West you're thinking of, but Key West Condos in Altamont Springs. But it's a three-bedroom, three-bath, beautiful, brand-new carpet, beautiful patio.
Desirable
view.
Area, too, out there.
Oh,
Sweet
my gosh.
Sweetwater,
I think. No, close to 436, but right off of 434, okay. near the mall, near I-4, but tucked back where you kind of feel a little bit secluded and peaceful, but it's got a one-car garage. You know, it's got all the community amenities with the pool. But the seller just did a fantastic job. We are coming on the market this weekend. Give me a call if you would like more details about that. And then, of course, I mentioned the condo in Castleberry. So those are coming soon. Hope you enjoyed the show today, talking all things real estate and tiny homes. I'm Dora Seiler, the Real Estate Explorer with Prestige Property Shop, 407-493-4959. Call me if I can answer any questions or help you with your real estate needs. Have a great day, everybody.
Some other guy that she likes to see.